Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Well, good morning, everybody. Are you ready to study the scriptures together this morning? How about the other half of you? All right, good. Listen, I'm going to tell you, here's a secret at LifeLink. Only the insiders know this, and clearly you're the insiders because I'm about to tell you a secret. The more you respond, the faster I preach. Just saying. All right, so in closing today, just kidding. I'm so glad you're here this morning. We're actually in part two of a series we kicked off last week called I Promise. If you missed last week, well, I want to encourage you to go back and podcast it or listen to it on our website. I want to make sure that you don't miss out anything because this series is filled with potential for real and substantive life change. This series essentially is a little bit deeper study in the normal that we do at LifeLink. A lot of times we take topics and we kind of work our way through some topics that are a part of our everyday life. And we look at these big areas of life through the lens of Scripture and see this is how God wants us to live in this topic or that part of life or whatever. This is a different approach where we're going into the Scriptures to study more about God and who He is and who He's revealed Himself to be. And the series named I Promise is really tied directly to the promises God has made to you and to me by revealing Himself to be the God who is a promise-making, promise-keeping God. And so we're looking at eight different promises He's given us, and He uses His names to reveal different dimensions of promise to all of us. And that's a summary of last week, but there are some nuances I really want you to make sure you catch. So as we're going into this, here's what I want to do is just take a quick look at two scriptures we used last week and a couple of things to jot down. One was Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, says it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that He exists and He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. And what we learned from that, if you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, in order for me to receive God's promise, I have to believe God exists as God. I have to believe He exists as God, that He's not a figment of imagination. He's not a religious ideology. He's not a nameless force out there. He's Almighty God. I have to believe that He exists as God. Number two, I have to sincerely seek Him. I have to sincerely seek Him, not His stuff. A lot of times we actually miss what God has for us because we're trying to get His stuff. We don't care so much about Him. And so I want to make sure that we really catch the alignment of that. The second thing we looked at was Exodus chapter 3, verse 15. Here's where it says, God said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, Yahweh, my name to remember for all generations. And so what we picked up from that was the fact that Yahweh is the name of our promise-making, promise-keeping God forever. Promise-making, promise-keeping God forever, Yahweh. So with that as our starting point, we're going to cover these two awesome promises today that we're going to be looking at, the God of peace and the God of that promises guidance as our shepherd. We're going to look at two of these different promises today. But before we do anything else, we're going to go right to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to open our understanding. So Lord, we come to You right now. We thank You for who You are. You're a God who makes and keeps promises. And Father, today we're asking that You would open our understanding by the power of Your word and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we thank You, God, that You're going to do great things in us and through us in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. So the first of the two names and promises we're studying today is Yahweh Shalom, which is God, my peace. Everyone write that down. God, my peace. God, my peace. Everyone say peace. So we all have different ideas when it comes to the word peace. Peace is a favorite word of my wife right now. It usually means to her some furnishing in the house. She needs a new peace. So it's not like, yo, peace out. It's, I need a new peace. And that could be a starburst of some kind that goes on the wall. It could be a couch. It could be any, it just, she needs a peace. I think peace, I'm thinking of 45. Just saying. And for the record, I'm a really good shot. Reminds me, I think it was Cliff Shirts that told me this. It could have been Cliff. If it's not, I'm going to blame it on Cliff. But he said that one day, he told me, he said, I was telling one of my son-in-laws, the guy was wanting to marry one of my daughters, he said, don't ever hurt my daughter, I will shoot you. And he said, there's no reason to run, you'll just die tired. Peace. So God, when he's talking about peace, is neither talking about furnishings, nor is he talking about weapons. He's talking about something different. Peace. We all have in our mind a concept or an image when we think of peace. A lot of us think of peace being the absence of conflict, or, you know, peace and quiet, like the absence of noise, or we picture a great day on the beach and just no distractions and no pressure. I mean, a lot of us have different, I just lost some of you right there because you're already in San Diego right now in your mind. It's like, come back, I promise I won't hold you long. But the point is, God actually had something different in mind when he was talking to us about peace. So what I want to do is actually take a perspective that we get in Scripture. And originally, the revelation of the God of peace, Yahweh Shalom, was an event that happened in the Old Testament when Gideon was working with the angel of the Lord and was terrified when he realized it was the angel of God. He was afraid he was going to die, and the angel of the Lord said, no, you're not going to die today. And he said, then you're a God of peace. And so there was an interesting interchange in the Old Testament where we initially see this. But what I want to do is tap in on the New Testament at a familiar sight to many of us in our own imagination. And it is the night when the shepherds were on the hillsides watching or tending their flocks of sheep, and the angels of the Lord came to them. We celebrate this story a lot at Christmas time. And so what I want to do is borrow that particular analogy, and I want to go into this and see if the Holy Spirit can connect the dots on for you and for me on context that God has in his mind when it comes to peace. And so here they are. These guys are out. They got the third shift. They're watching their sheep at night. And so they didn't realize they were going to have a divine appointment with God. It was just a regular day at work to them. And all of a sudden, out of the clear blue sky, angels show up. And all of a sudden, it freaks them out. And here's what happened. In Luke chapter 2, verse 13 says, and suddenly there was an angel. There was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, what? Peace, what? Goodwill toward men. What the angels were essentially saying here is God is worthy of your highest praise because what has just happened, you don't really understand it yet, but what has just happened, God has made provision in the form of Christ, his son, who's on the earth now. The provision of peace is on the earth. And so let me bring you some context for what that, I believe, actually means. In the earlier seasons of time, God, who worked through the law, tended to come across as very law-oriented, very legalistic, very punitive. And I don't know how else to say it, but if you look at Old Testament interactions with God and people, without the agency of grace in the earth of Christ, what there was laws that people either obeyed or disobeyed. And it was pretty black and white. You obeyed the law, you didn't get punished. You disobeyed the law, you got punished. How many of you understand that? And so there was a collective sense that, okay, so God apparently is a God who's got a lightning bolt in one hand and a hammer on the other. He's either going to drop the hammer on you or fry you with the lightning bolt, so whatever it takes. And it just had a very religious sense. But the angels were saying, listen, we want you to know something, that God has made provision in Christ. Now that grace is on the earth, he wants you to know he feels differently about you than you think. And that's what, if you just read into this, it says, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Peace, goodwill toward men. In other words, God was trying to say through that message, I want you to realize that what you think of me is not exactly how I am. And I'm going to show you something different in the form of what I'm doing with my son. And I want you to realize I'm for you, not against you. We get this picture spelled out in greater detail in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. It says this: in those days, you were living apart from Christ, and you did not know the covenant promises that God has made to his people. You lived in this world without God and without hope. Everyone say, without God, without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. So he says, you were living this way, but now you've been united with Christ Jesus, and watch what happens. Once you were far away from God, now you have brought near to him through the blood of Christ. What was he saying? In the context that we see in Scripture here, God is basically saying to you, without what Christ did, there was no way for us to be together in fellowship, in relationship. There was a division between us. Sin actually separated us. But now that Christ is there, and now that Christ has paid the price, I want you to know that the price he paid was in order for us to connect relationally and you to get to know my heart. That God wants us to know he's not against us, he's for us. He's not against us, he's for us. Peace on earth, goodwill toward people. Now, I believe this is really important because in the way that people tend to think about God, if you're not walking with God, if you don't have a relationship with him, if this is not clicked for you yet, then there's a good chance you're like the culture around us who's either marginalized Christians altogether as irrelevant issues and phantoms in culture that don't mean anything, or they've ascribed to church people this very religious, very mean, very angry, very vindictive, very judgmental characteristics that they think God is like that. That God is mean, that God is angry, that he's just looking for an excuse to get you. So if the church, if the world doesn't ignore the church, then probably they think this is what that God is like, because that's what all the people that I know who are Christians are like. God's gonna get you. Many of us grew up in churches like that. In fact, a lot of times what happens is groups of people will kind of hijack the tendency that we have in our heart being created as worshipers, that we're actually worship-oriented, so we'll respond to leadership. And what happens is a lot of times religious institutions will hijack that and will actually get between God and people and say, listen, this is what God is like. He's going to get you. He's going to get you. You better act right, because, boy, if you mess up, he's going to get you. And we've just figured out that we can kind of manipulate and maneuver people through fear to get people to respond and try to act better. But that isn't the heart of God. If you ever look at what Jesus did when he dealt with people whose lives were mired in sin, Jesus never did that. Jesus came alongside them and connected with them and said, I see you. I see you. Now I want you to know something. I love you. Now, what you're doing is killing you. So I want you to know you're forgiven. Now don't do that anymore. I'm paraphrasing lots of interaction to a single kind of posture that we see Jesus doing that. Anytime he dealt with broken, sinful people, he never dropped the hammer on them and said, you're a sinner. Just wait till I get done with you. You're going to fry on the flames of hell. Sunny side up or easy over, I don't care. You're gone. He wasn't that way at all. When he dealt with broken, sinful people, he dealt with them in the context of love. He was for them. Right? The only people we ever see in Scripture Jesus really angry at was the religious leaders of his day, who did exactly what I was talking about earlier. They hijacked the propensity that we have to worship God. They hijacked that for their political expediency and said, we're going to lead here, so do it this way, do it that way, or God are going to get you. And God said, listen, enough with that. I didn't come to give my life for a political institution and some blah, blah, blah. I want you to know my heart is for you. God wants you to know that peace doesn't just mean the absence of conflict. He wants you to know that peace means there's nothing now standing between you and God. You can have peace with him. And I believe this is a critically important component of our understanding of God, because if we get this right, then we won't resist him. If we understand this right, we won't resist him. And instead, our hearts will lead into him. Does that make sense? Now listen, the Bible's clear that sin doesn't have a place in our righteous relationship with God. In other words, we're not created for sin. And sin always damages people. Sin always hurts people. There's always a consequence for it. But what I want you to understand is that God is not just trying to punish people for the consequence of sin. He's for people and doesn't want people to live in the consequence of sin. And I know it sounds subtly different, but it's really big. God loves people. God loves people. God loves you. Now listen to some of the personal benefits that God gives us as his people. When he gives us his peace. Isaiah chapter 23 verse 6 says it this way. You, God, will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. In other words, as we live our relationship, we live our lives in relationship with God, personally focusing our mindset on him, something happens inside of us. Instead of a life filled with turmoil and confusion and all the other things that happen when we're not walking with God in a mindset of focus on him, instead of that confusion and turmoil, God says, if you'll set your mind on me and you'll live your life in relationship with me and you go my way, I'm going to produce something in you called peace. So not only is there peace with God, so we have relationship, he said, if you walk with me in that peace, I'm going to produce peace in you. God's promise of peace. Yahweh Shalom. His promise of peace. Two questions to help me align with God's promised peace. Number one, do I trust God? Do I trust him? Do I trust him? The answer to that question is going to help you know, in part, am I relating with him right? Am I aligned with him? Number two, do I keep my mind on God? God's ways, the person of who he is. How he wants me to live. Do I choose my way through the moments of life with God in the middle of that picture, or do I just think of God remotely every time I need something? And I don't have that much time to develop that idea, but essentially God wants you to know if you live your life in relationship with him in the middle of the way you choose, there's going to be a great development of peace that happens inside of you. I don't know if you've ever figured this out. You can't just go get peace. Peace is a result of something. Peace develops. Peace is a fruit of something. So what we do is we have to fix the issue and then peace comes. And what we're talking about today is we work in relationship with God through Christ. And as we live with God in the middle, peace comes. All right? Which leads really right into the second name in the promise we're studying today, and that is this, Yahweh Rohi. Rohi, everyone say Rohi, which means God my shepherd. God my shepherd. God my shepherd. Jesus used lots of words and word pictures when he was trying to help us understand how he relates to people, and one of his favorite is the picture of a shepherd and sheep. And every time he used it, God or he is the shepherd and we as people are the sheep, all right? And so I love this. He says this in John chapter 10, verses 14 and 27. Listen to these two verses together. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Circle the word know. They know me. Then he says in verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Circle the word follow. So from this verse, I want to take two words that I believe are paramount when it comes to actually experiencing the promises God is giving us as our shepherd. The two key elements that help people fit this analogy, number one, they know Jesus. And number two, they follow Jesus. They follow Jesus. One of the most famous scriptures in all of the Bible is the 23rd Psalm. Many times we use that to comfort one another in challenging situations. But I want us to read the 23rd Psalm. I'm going to read this to you and listen to the benefits of the Lord being our shepherd. Listen to this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love, or mercy, another translation, will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Man, when I read that psalm, when I hear that psalm, when I think of that, I'm thinking that's exactly what I want. I want the Lord to lead me beside still waters. I want the Lord to cause me to have the ability to lie down in green pastures. I want the Lord to lead me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I want the Lord to do all of those things. I want that. How do I do that? How do I experience all those benefits? If you're taking notes today, I want you to actually go right to the very front, the very first verse of that. Right, see where it says, number one, the Lord is my shepherd? Write down over the number one, the word if. Because really, every promise, write this down, in Psalms 23 hinges on one word, if he is my shepherd. Now listen to the way the 23rd Psalm reads this way. If the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. The opposite is true too. If the Lord is not my shepherd, I'm going to be in want. In other words, if I follow him as my shepherd, I'm never going to be in need. I'm never going to be in want. I may have desires that are unfulfilled, but I'll never truly be in need if I follow him. If I know him and follow him, I won't be in want. If I know him and follow him, he'll make me lie down in green pastures. If he's my shepherd, he'll lead me beside quiet waters. If he's my shepherd, he'll restore my soul. If he's my shepherd, he will guide me in paths of righteousness. You can just go all the way through that and just basically ask yourself, is he my shepherd? If I know him and follow him, he's my shepherd. So there's Trinity right over here. Trinity, just stand. You don't have to come up here, but just stand if you don't mind. This is Trinity. Trinity is a really good young lady. She's really nice. She's really sweet. But for the illustration, I'm going to say this. Let's say that I were Jesus, which you're looking at me like, no way. I understand. And let's say that that's Trinity. And you're saying, well, that is Trinity. All right. Trinity, don't move. Just stay right there, okay? But let's say if I were Jesus and I wanted Trinity to actually come beside still waters, I would say to her, Trinity, come this way. Now, don't go. Just stay right there. Trinity, come this way. I'll lead you beside the still waters. And then I'm going to start walking over here beside the still waters. Now, is Trinity experiencing still waters? No, why? Because here's the still water. She's over there not following. Do you see it? Okay, you can sit down. Thank you, Trinity. Where so many of us, myself included, often find that we disconnect from the promises of God is we don't either know him or we know him and don't follow him. But the promises he's given us are contingent on, do we know him and do we follow him? If we know him and choose to follow him, we'll experience the promises. So many of the time, what we end up with is, I'm not experiencing the promises, Pastor Dave. And if it gets right down to being honest, you'll look at areas of our lives and go, I'm not doing what he said in this area of my life. I'm not doing what he said in that. I'm walking in bitterness. I'm not walking in forgiveness. I don't tithe. I'm not walking in grace. I'm not walking in relationship with God. I'm not loving other people. I'm being selfish. You see what I'm saying? What we often want to do is just, we want to treat God like a genie in a bottle. Like, now give me my wish. But it's not that way. His promises are true. If we know him and if we follow him. So the personal application, I want you to write this down. Do I know and follow Jesus? Do I know and follow Jesus? Do I know and follow Jesus? And I want you to let the tension of that question stay in your heart just for a minute. Think about this. Do I know and do I follow Jesus? And you might be thinking, that's kind of squishy, Pastor Dave. That's a real amorphous. I'm not sure how you define that. It's just hard to understand that. Can you give me something a little more concrete? And on this one, I'm just going to have to say no. Why? Because if you think about what we actually started the message with, that God is a rewarder of those who, what? Diligently or sincerely seek him. In other words, there's a posture in our lives, everybody, that we need. And that is, Lord, I'm going to follow you today. Where are you leading me? What is it you want to work on in my life today? I don't know it all yet, God. I'm seeking you. Not I'm done with you, or not I'm ignoring you, or not, well, I'm a Christian, so it ought to work. It's I'm seeking you. And as this really personal issue gets real to you, it'll dawn on you. I'm the only one who can do this for me. My membership in a group doesn't do it for me. My participation in a church service doesn't do it for me. I'm the only one that can choose moment by moment by moment. Do I know and do I follow Jesus? And here's what I want you to know. God's heart is for you. Yahweh Shalom. There's peace. He's not angry. There's no reason to resist him. There's no reason to run from him. He's really trying to catch you. In fact, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says it this way. Look, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock, and if you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and we'll share a meal together as friends. And textually, this is really talking about something a little bit different. It's in the book of Revelation, and it's really dealing, I think, with the church of Laodicea, which is a real kind of awkward dynamic, and this is a kind of a weird situation going on with that particular church. And he was saying, listen, I'm not angry at you. I'm trying to get your attention. I'm trying to get in. I'm knocking on the awareness of your mind. I'm the door of your heart. I'm knocking. I'm trying to let you know I'm here. I want in. And what I really want in to do isn't judge you and drop the hammer on you. And no, I really just want in so we can have fellowship together. I want you to know who I am. And that's the heart of God. The heart of God. I want to get through the brokenness of your pain. I want to get through the issues of your mind. I want to get through the psychological pain of addictions. I want to get past the issue of abandonment. I want to get past the barricade of isolation. I'm trying to get into you so that you know I'm here. I love you. I'm trying to reach you. You don't need to run if you'll just open up your heart to me and let me in. You're going to be shocked at who you discover me to be. Why? Because I'm coming in peace. And my promise of peace is that there's no compelling reason for us not to be in a relationship anymore. And if we walk together, you're going to experience peace. Because if we walk together, then you're allowing me to be not just Yahweh Shalom, peace. You're letting me also be Yahweh Rohi, shepherd. I'm going to lead you into what I have for you. And you're going to love it. And you're going to love it. And that's the promise that God is making. Now, the only way to experience it is to say, then I'll go your way. Then I'll go your way. Then, Lord, I'll open my heart to you. Then I'll turn from my mindsets that I've had. I'll ask you to come in to the middle of my heart. That's where you, the middle of my life, the middle of me, and actually fellowship with you. I want to know you, Lord. I just don't want to know your stuff. I want to know you. And he says, if you know me, you'll get everything I have. And today, here's what I know. There is a good chance that there could be 15, 20 people in here who came because a family member or friend guilted you into coming. And you're sitting here thinking, how fast can I get out of here? And I understand that. I know exactly how that feels. But potentially what actually happened was the compelling love of God reached your heart through a friend of yours or a family member who got you here some way so you could hear a message from God. He's a God of peace, goodwill toward you. Pastor Dave, if you only knew what I'd done, if you'd only known, we could sit here for hours and listen to each other say the same thing. The good news is God knows all of it, and he said, I am a God of peace. My encouragement to you today is to say, then Lord, I don't understand all of it. I'm not even sure how it's going to work, but I sense you knocking on my heart, and today I'm going to open up to you and say, you know, I've done the church thing for a long time. I've been at LifeLink for 7 years. I've listened to 1,000 sermons, but I'm hearing something different today. And today, I actually want to open my heart to God. Because I see him and sense him doing something. And I'm just tired of the way I'm living anyway. And I just want what God has for me. So I'm going to quit running. I'm going to let go of the offenses that I've had against God. I'm just going to let go of all that stuff and say, God, fresh start. Fresh start today. That's the promise. God wants you to know peace on earth, goodwill toward you. Why? Because he wants you to know him. So you will trust him to lead you into the life of fulfillment you've never imagined he would do for you. That's who God is. Are there consequences to sin? Yes. But that's not his heart. His heart is for us. His heart is for us. Let me pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for what you're doing by the work of the Holy Spirit in this room today. God, you're such a great and awesome God. Thank you, Lord, that you've chosen to reveal to us that you're not a punitive, power-hungry, egocentric God who's looking for reasons to cause us pain. But Lord, you have gone out of your way to reach us with the grip of your grace and compelling love to let us know that you are for us. There is peace in your heart toward us. And that we can experience that peace if we'll open up our heart and let you in. And God, not only that, but you want to lead us into areas of life that we could hardly even dream of as our shepherd. And today, God, with those two promises, we want to say yes. Right now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to say that there is a grace for a decision in your life today. There could be 30 or 40 people in this room. Some of us know each other well. But only you know where you actually are with God. Some of us have never met, and you know exactly where you are with God. But today is your day. This is a day for you to say yes to Jesus and accept his offer of a fresh start of life with him. God wants to wash away the stain and scars of your past. He wants to remove mountains of guilt and condemnation. And he wants to sit down in the heart of who you are and get to know you and let you get to know him and then lead you forward into a life you can't imagine. All it takes is your decision to say yes. And in a moment, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to ask every one of you in here today that you know you're far away from God or you're not even sure where you are with God for real. But today you feel his grace and you have a grace to say yes, to start or to start again. And when I count to three in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up. Just connect with me like that so I'll know who I'm praying with. Then we're going to pray a simple prayer of decision. It'll change your life forever. All right, you ready? I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I won't ask you to stand, and no one will be looking around, just me looking. Two, don't overthink it. Just move on your own heart because God's knocking. Three, you ready? Come on, slip your hand up right now. Let's talk about it. One, two, leave it up for just a moment. Three, who else? Who else? Four, five, six, seven. Who else? Who else? Eight. Nine. Who else? 10, 11. Is there anyone else? You can put your hands down. I'm just going to wait just a moment. I feel the Lord pulling on about two or three more people. Who else is in here? I can't just rush by this moment. God's trying to reach you. Who else? If that's you, slip your hand up. Thank you right there. One, two. Who else? There's one more. God stopped the whole service just for you. Who is it? He loves you. The thought you just had about guilt, he said, I got that. Don't worry about it. Who is it? Three. All right, you can put your hands down. Everyone look at me for a moment. We're going to pray together. It's a simple prayer. About 15 of you actually slipped your hand up and said, that's me. I'm going to ask in a moment as I lead this prayer that you pray out loud. It doesn't matter if you've prayed this prayer 100 times. I'm asking you today, as if it was the very first time, reach deep in your heart and say, God, this is from the bottom of my heart. We're going to start today. You're going to know him, then I'm going to challenge you to follow him like never before. And God, who is at peace with you and who wants to lead you, is going to give you a brand new life. All right? Can we just pray this prayer out loud together? Heavenly Father, thank you for being so good to me, for giving me your word, and the truth of your word. Jesus, forgive me for every sin I've ever committed. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me new. I'm giving all of my life and all of my heart to you. Come into my life, my heart, the middle of who I am, so we can get to know each other and I can follow you as my Savior and my Shepherd. Fill me with your Spirit and give me the strength that I need to live with you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Everybody said.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.